Thank you for being here with me and welcome back. My name is Catherine Daniels and I love to empower people with spiritual healing and wellness. The best thing about Retreat to Peace is the gift of inner peace, greater love, and joy. And during these times of changes and uncertainty in the world, nothing is permanent except our souls. And that's why we need to come together as we travel through one another's countries, creating a bridge, removing all labels as we come together as one people, finding our home in one world. And as we do this, this is why our signature talk today is so important. Today, I get to welcome my guest, Jenny Lee. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Catherine. Thank you so much for having me.
We're so happy to have you here and so excited, you know, for you to be here. And for my guest, could you just tell us a little bit about who you are?
Who I am? That's a deep question because during podcast interviews, I've always been focused on my work, and I was like, okay, I'm a mindset coach, and I help women wake up in the morning and craft their morning routines and help them be happy. But yeah, I like being asked who I am aside from what I do, because I think it's nice to just like be recognized for who you are as your essence, as you know, something that's deeper than your work, and make that as an identifier. Right. And so I could tell you how I grew up and my life journey, you know, briefly, just so that you could probably, you know, have your own perspective of who I am. So I grew up in Indonesia within a conservative Chinese family, and around me was a conservative Muslim community. And I also went to Catholic schools all through my academic, not all my academic years, really, kindergarten to college. And yeah, it was a very, like right now, I guess I don't really want to be negative, you know, but it felt very oppressive. For me growing up, knowing only, you know, the things that I could not do because I was a woman living in a conservative culture, there was a lot of abuse going on. Especially, you know, emotionally and physically, in my family and school, there was a lot of corporal punishment. And around me, there's also a lot of shaming of me being Chinese because, you know, I was different. So there was, I also faced a lot of discrimination, racial discrimination. And there was also, so there was like a lot of a feeling of being unwanted, for being a woman, for being Chinese. And when I just graduated high school, and there was this genocide targeting the Chinese, in Indonesia. It was pretty ugly. They were raping the women, burning the homes of the Chinese families and businesses, and so my family and I, we had to flee the country to escape all the madness. So there was a lot of trauma, you know, when I was just like, you know, I was feeling unwanted, and a lot of rejection there too, right? And then a lot of shaming. And so after that, you know, it's actually really interesting thinking about those times of my life when, I was only expecting stress and rejection, right? And all around me, people are always angry. My parents were always angry. They were always, they have a pretty toxic relationship, and we had to grow up with that, you know, watching my parents fight. And it, so I grew up with that kind of relationship as my point of reference, and the, all the shaming and, you know, like this concept of a woman being subjected to all kinds of rules as my point of reference of how it'd be, right? But yeah, even in school, I did not have any friends, and the library was really my sanctuary that time. It, it was like my, I won't say, well, I think it was an escape. But it was also a world where I could feel safe, and I got, from all the stories that I read so many books in the library because, the stories were my, I won't say way out. It was a world that I created, in my head. And because there was like, you know, all of these chaos outside of me, I had to live in my head. And I had to create this world and stories about where I am. So where I would feel safer, really. And so, you know what? I kind of did. And so long story short, here I am now in the U.S., right? Living the life that I created in my head. So I don't know if that's like, if that gives you an idea of like a part of who I am, but thinking about my journey back then, it was everything that I, anybody would ever, like, you know, it, nobody would ever want the life that I had then. You know, it was a lot of, I felt imprisoned, suffocated. You know, it's like I could not express myself because it was like slight expression of, you know, because I was, I could be pretty loud and I was expressive. I had, an expressive face, and I was good with words, and I was smart, but like when I talked back, it was like in a way that was like, you know, I was speaking my mind. It's like, oh, I would be beaten back to the box, you know, because I wasn't like anybody else. And so, yeah, I felt like corporal punishment was really to beat people back into the box so that they're like everybody else, right? So, and you know what? That's how a lot of cultures are like that. And I can't judge at this point. Like, maybe some people do belong in that culture, but that wasn't for me. And I think it was a gift that I did not, that I wasn't a match to that culture, because it showed, it brought me here, you know, building a life that I really want, that is the opposite of the life that I had before. And I was very unhappy back then, thinking of, you know, all those years growing up. And now I live a happy life where my friends are family, where I am accepted for who I am. And I'm now sitting here being inspired by your work. And yeah, and that's, I think that's the gift, because without what I went through back then, I don't think I would know what I wanted to create in my life.
I think that your story is so fascinating because you've mentioned so many things that I had to keep writing questions, you know, like writing things down because there was so much packed in there. So I applaud you for the tenacity that you have shown to get to the other side of what you didn't like or didn't want and, you know, grow and allow yourself to push through the boundaries, because there's a lot of people when they go through something, they get stuck and they just don't know how to get unstuck. And one of the things that you said was you created a life that was opposite of what you had experienced. And I think that's so key when we're trying to manifest or change and grow and learn, is just taking whatever it is that you don't like and looking at what it would look like if it were the complete opposite, right? So if somebody has it one way, what would it look like if it's the complete opposite and it was like all your dreams come true? Mm-hmm. And then just keep your focus on that and just keep your attention on that and moving towards that. One of the things that you mentioned that I do want to go back to is this, and you kind of touched on it a little bit. And if you're comfortable, of course, you know, you can talk about it, but if you're not comfortable, I respect that as well. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of women, they have this space within them where they do feel a sense of shame, or they do feel like they don't fit in. They do feel like they are under attack for a variety of reasons. The things that you mentioned, you know, just being a woman, you said being Chinese, having the community that was conservative around you, and just feeling the suppression of, you know, just the suppression of what was happening. And when I look at women as a collective, I see so many women just struggling with finding their worth, their place in life, not really sure of who they are, what direction they're going sometimes. And women struggle for so many reasons because we have so many hats to wear and we're always under some sort of spiritual attack when you think about it. Because if you think about it, like, our bodies are the ones that give life, you know, we're the ones that are in charge of the family, the house, the home. We have to be strong for ourselves, but we also have to be strong for a lot of people around us. And it's interesting how we have to develop this sense of community to help build our strength and really feel like we're safe and we're okay. And men are completely opposite. They can go and go solo, and their primal DNA allows them to go into the woods and hunt the beast and bring it back, you know, for the tribe and the family. But the women are the ones that are gathering, and we're stronger in numbers because our primal DNA, that's what we do. We're not safe if we're totally by ourselves. We have to be in company of others to feel safe. And because of that, we have to recognize that that part of us is okay to acknowledge. It's not something to feel ashamed of. It's okay to be who we are and to be a woman. And it's okay to need support of community or chosen people that we create for our family, friends, and our soul tribe. And mm-hmm. I feel like the soul tribe, that's something as we grow, we start to really recognize the people that are serving us in our life and the people that are not serving us in our life. And then we get to choose. We get to choose what to do with that. Like, how much of a boundary do we allow ourselves so that we are okay inside? And when you were going through some of these circumstances, did you have boundaries? Did you know what boundaries were? And did you develop boundaries as you started to grow and become an awareness?
Oh, wow. That is an excellent question. I did not grow up learning boundaries, really. I grew up being prescribed, this is the map of your life. You're going to finish high school, then go to college, get a job, get married, make your parents proud, right? And these are the things that, you know, list of things that you need to do, being a woman who is respectable, you know, stay virgin till you're married and you don't, and you're not supposed to be dating too many men, or, you know, all those things. And I don't know, maybe those were boundaries, right? Culturally, but it was not my personal boundary. You know, I think I lost my sense of boundary because I was raised to please other people, to please my parents, please the society, right? Please the man that I was with, you know, then my husband. And so I don't think I learned about boundaries until I got a divorce, you know, and that's when I learned how I had been, because I never had that boundary. I was abusing myself, you know, because of that lack of boundary, right? Because, okay, I was just doing what everybody says that I was supposed to do as a woman. And there's this story that was running, right, subconsciously, that I also know that my mother was running on. One of them is, you know, being a woman, you're such a noble woman, you're such a noble person if you break your body serving your family. you're such a good person if you get sick or die taking care of your children. And no, it's just not true. But I couldn't help it. It was my programming, right? And so at some point after all the unhappiness and all the depletion and exhaustion that caused me to fall into depression and even suicidal thoughts, right? Because I just didn't feel like I could wake up and face it anymore. You know, it was like, I felt like everything in my life was a lie. It's like, did I really want to get married, or did I marry because my parents thought I should get married, right? And I mean, I love my child to death. My son is such a beautiful child, and I feel like, okay, I mean, at this point, I would be wondering, right? It's like, oh, okay, I guess I knew I wasn't happy by the second year of my marriage, but why did I continue staying married until the 10th year? Like, you know, that's when we got a divorce, like after our 10th anniversary. But if I separated by the second year, my child wouldn't have been born, right? But then there was this question too, because I was so exhausted, right? It's like, did I really want to be a mother? You know, because at that point, because I was so tired, I started thinking, maybe I'm just not ready to be a mother. I think I'm being a mother because society told me to be one, right? And yeah, that was all my lack of boundary that led me to all those questions, and, you know, just kind of woke up one day and realized that all this, you know, things, right, all this material world. I lived in a nice suburb close to the lake, a nice house on a 4-acre land, but do I really want this? You know, to be honest with you, no, not with this man, but I just lived it and playing house, you know, and getting compliments from everyone who think that, oh, I was so lucky, right? But you know what? Do you know that I'm actually really, really unhappy? You know, but yeah, that was the lie that I had to, that kind of like built on top of other lies, on top of other lies. I mean, those are lies because those are not what I truly wanted, right? Because what I truly want is to be in the full expression of my true self. And that is not, you know, this docile woman who takes care of her husband and child in a nice house in a suburb of a small town USA. Yeah, so lack of boundary kind of brought me to that place, you know, in my life. And so after the divorce, that's when my process of healing, that's when I learned that it's okay to have boundaries. It's okay to like the things that you like and make that as like your base, you know, for building your life. And it's okay to say no to other people. And no, you don't always have to be nice just because you were worried about what they would say, you know? Yeah, and that's when I learned that saying yes to yourself needs to be the priority, because sometimes when you say yes to others, you might say no to yourself. Then I learned that when I say yes to other people, I better make sure that I say yes to myself too. Yeah, if that answers the question.
Definitely. No, that's so true. And do you feel like there was a defining moment when that hit you, or was it just a gradual thing where you started to become into awareness of it?
Oh yeah. It was definitely a gradual thing. I got into another toxic relationship after my divorce, and I got back into, you know, the whole people pleasing again, like pleasing my man, being a supportive girlfriend and all of that. And and I fell into this like lack of boundary, right? And so it that is actually something that I think I should write down and articulate how I finally found my boundaries. But I only got to learn it after I broke up, you know, with this and I got out of this toxic relationship, and I was with, then I made so many friends who are all women. So, you know, back to what you said about being in a community. And that's when I learned how comfortable I am among women who are so generous and unconditionally loving, and who are supportive of each other's healing. And I felt like I was delivered by the universe, right, to this circle of women, and, you know, meeting all these girlfriends like randomly, and then we became family. Then I realized that this is really the kind of unconditional love that I deserve, right? Then that's, I think that is also how I learn boundaries. You know, it's like these women who are just like so honest. I would really love to help you go out and, you know, get groceries, but on my time. Okay, that's really good, because then I learned that, yeah, of course, like I can do things and help other people, but on my terms, but, you know, still be helpful, right? And yeah, just kind of like watching them, you know, expressing themselves and how they, I don't know, like, you know, with their dating life, for example, I had a lot to learn, right? Just kind of like, you know, also watching certain women who know what they want. And if it's a good match, then they go for it. You know, it's not because they want, they think that they have to please somebody for being into something, you know, especially relationship. Yeah. It is definitely a gradual thing. And also another healing that I've done is my morning routine, the time that I had for myself, where I do the things that I feel the happiest, that gives me the most exhilaration. I meditate and I practice breath work. And interestingly, yeah, well, they are all really healing to my nervous system, but it also set a standard of what kind of emotional state that I want to be in, right? And it's been, of course, helpful with keeping my emotional state healthy, and I've been happy and joyful. And so that's automatically, that actually automatically creates this boundary. So anything that might disturb that, like, I would be very sensitive to that. And I don't think that feels good, so I can't do that. Because my nervous system, my cells, like, you know, my whole being are so used to feeling good. You know, I'm used to feeling happy and stable. And so when there's just like, you know, something that's maybe a little, that feels like it could be draining or needy or, I don't know, out of line, before it gets too, you know, before it gets too far, I could put a stop on it, you know, because I've worked on myself. And that is by setting that that happiness level, you know, within me. And that is as much as possible. And so that's how I took over my energy. That's how I took control back. Then I realized that, okay, whenever I blame other people, you know, for whatever that's going wrong in my life, I'm giving away that power. And I can't have that anymore. And so, yeah. And so how do I keep that power? Right. So that is by being responsible, for how I feel. And how can I be responsible for how I feel? Well, by being honest, by, you know, saying what is, you know, what is the most true of how you feel. That's it, right? Because when you're true to yourself, that's like the best boundary, really, because everything that is not true to you, is repelled, right? You're creating like this balloon or this bubble that is unpoppable. If that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And I feel like there's probably a lot of people listening right now to what you're saying, and they're in a situation where they don't know what to do. They're recognizing that their bodies are reacting. They're recognizing they're out of alignment, but their circumstances don't allow them to speak out or speak up.
Mm.
So what advice would you give to someone like that?
What suggestion would I give to someone like that? I was not able to speak any truth growing up, because I think, yeah, when you don't fit in a certain society, whatever you say is wrong, right? So I tend to keep things for myself. But I think what brought me to where I am now is that I stayed true to myself. I may not say it to other people, but I know what is true. I don't have to say it out loud. I could walk out of that situation without saying anything, but I still take my side. I still take my own side. You know, and yeah, I guess it depends on the situation, right? Because I think that was the reason why I did not have any friends, and that was okay. And, you know, like how I stayed true to myself is, you know, with me drowning in my books, I guess, and indulge in beautiful stories. And that felt really good. And that felt true to myself. People would say whatever they want to say, of course. And there's nothing that you could do to change people with one conversation, of course. And that's why and it's been a blessing that I've been attracting people who are like-minded. And I'm so happy that, you know, I get to talk to you right now and just be truthful. And that's the kind of people that, you know, that you want to be around, that you can be truthful too, as much as you are truthful to yourself.
It's so important, so important to do that. And but in the process of that journey, when we go through that stage of changing, we do suffer a sense of loss.
Yeah.
And that loss shows up in many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that anyone that's going through something like that, they have to honor that space within themselves and know that that is part of the process, is going through that loss, but also you're also regaining something that you didn't have before. Mm-hmm. That's a scary process.
Yes.
You know, you're releasing one aspect to go into a new aspect and bust through into a new space that's going to it's going to make you feel more alive and more, as you said, authentic and real and just unapologetic. And you're just able to walk through life with a whole different walk and talk and being. And it's beautiful. I know for myself, I had to go through a lot of readjusting and reevaluating a lot of relationships that I had in my life. Because when I looked at my life, there was a lot of relationships that were not serving me. And what I mean by that is, when I paid attention to my body, I would recognize my body was, my nervous system was reacting when I was in the company of certain people. And that wasn't a good feeling, like you said. And I had to pull back and really ask myself, is this relationship serving me? Is this relationship helping me to grow? Is it supportive? And when you go back and you reevaluate, some relationships you do have to release. Yeah. They're just not healthy for you. But there's other relationships that maybe you just put on the side. Like you can still maintain friendship or, you know, a cordial relationship with them, but it doesn't mean that they're completely out of your life. But for some, I think it is important that you allow yourself permission to understand that that person you're releasing was just part of your journey. Like they served the purpose for your journey, and there's something they brought to you that you learned, or maybe you taught them something.
Yeah.
And then release them. And there's no shame around that. I think that's something that every human has to learn and grow, and you have to change, because if you're not changing, then you're in the same place and you're stuck. And 10 years goes by and you look back on your life and there's all these things that you had for hopes and dreams and all these ideas that you didn't manifest or create because you were too afraid.
It can be lonely. Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, I remember, it was very, I was lonely for many years. But I think what I was leaning on is really what made me happy at that moment. And I think at that point, you know, we were talking about guardian angels, you know, like before. I think, I don't know if this, you know, this could be a message or like, you know, it could just be my logic. But I want to talk about the higher self. Right, we are who we are right now in this incarnation, and we have, like, we can't help but identify with something that is in this 3D world, but there is something, but that is, like, bigger than, you know, than this body, than what we identify, and it is you, it is me, right? It is that higher self. And I feel that when I'm honest with myself and lean on what feels good, how I can be more present in that moment, I'm leaning on my higher self. And my higher self is also that part of me that soothes myself. Like, you know, when I know how to soothe myself, when I know how to love myself, when I know how to take my own side. And so when you're lonely, that is the best that you could do for yourself. Know that you are loved, and there's something that is so much bigger than the story of our lives right now, right? And this, and there's like millions and millions of possibility of what can come out, because right now, however depressing our situation is, you know, like we've all been there, but there's like a million of possibility on that other side. And what we could do is to lean on what can make you feel better little by little by little, right? I just feel that we're all meant to be happy. And all the suffering that I went through, I guess without it, I won't be seeking what is the opposite of it if it wasn't because of, you know, all of those things in my past. And I see that as a gift. It's like a catapult, right? That's a catapult that takes you to the other side. But in the process, you just have to take your own side. Lean on what feels good. Yeah.
When I was 5 years old and I saw my guardian angel, and I knew in an instant that I was loved. I knew that I was guided. I knew I was being guided. And there was always this constant, like it wasn't questioned. It was just a constant, you know, constant feeling of, despite this human world we're living in, I was loved. And that was something, quite honestly, that part of my life was missing. I didn't have parents that said, I love you, or, you know, were proud of me, or the list goes on and on and on. And when I became a mom, it was one of those things that I did for myself to love myself back and just say, I'm going to do the total opposite of everything that I had given to me by these people that were the adults in my life that didn't give me the soul soothing things a child would have, right? And I feel there's so many people right now that may have been in a space where they were neglected or abused, or there's so many different things that humans go through. But what I know is I've never met a human that has not suffered from some sort of loss, abandonment, depression, anxiety, grief. I mean, the list goes on. Like we're all in the same realm as far as having human suffering. But it all comes back to not going outside of ourselves, but going inward and finding the loves within ourselves and giving ourselves that self-love. And that doesn't mean using drugs, alcohol, you know, things that are going to destroy us. It means give our soul self the things that are going to feel beautiful on the inside. Mm-hmm. And those things could be just the healing toolbox that works for you. Everybody has their own. Some people, they have to, you know, just cuddle up in a soft blanket. And just cuddling up in a soft blanket could make you feel like you're getting a hug, you know? Yeah. So there's so many ways that we can just turn inward and love ourselves instead of going outward and going for something that is going to be destructive. Mm-hmm. And I think 2020 really shed light on that for a lot of people, where that destructive aspect really was highlighted because people were forced to stop. They couldn't run. They had to sit with themselves. And a lot of people didn't know what to do with that. They're just completely lost. So anyone that is listening right now, and this is really resonating with you, I encourage you to find the things that are going to help you feel safe and give yourself that love. So whatever that means for you, create your environment so it's a safe space, and just really support your journey. One thing that Tony Robbins always talks about is putting a list of your accomplishments somewhere where you can see them. Because when we look at a list of accomplishments, we know that we did that. And we know that we had to love ourselves to get through those hurdles onto the other side and create what it was that we manifested and created. And a lot of times that process comes from a place of pain. There's something that triggers pain within us. And now we want to get out of the pain. We're desperate to get out of the pain. So we don't want to sit there. So we look for ways. And what is it we can do to get out of this pain that we're feeling? And then that's when we decide, you know what? I need a plan. I need to execute my plan. I need to make changes, and I need to grow. And all of that is self-love, all mm-hmm. of that, because you're loving yourself enough that you say, I don't want to sit here anymore. This isn't serving me. And you find a way to make it happen, that you're now moving your space into something that's very true to yourself and authentic. And I have a wonderful friend, literally, I think it was about 4 years ago when I came, you know, we had lunch, and she kept saying to me how wonderful her life was and her marriage and this and that. And as I was sitting there listening to her words, it literally was so profound to me on how unhappy she was. But she was trying to create this story that she was so happy. And the script was, it was like, it was all orchestrated. Like, she knew exactly what she was going to say, how she's going to say it to try to convince me. And she couldn't convince me because I saw right through it. And I feel like we do this to ourselves sometimes. Like, we lie to ourselves about what we are experiencing. And when I said something to her later, I said, I honor you. I honor the space that you're in. But everything you said, it really wasn't coming from your heart space. It was not authentic to you. And she just started to cry because she thought she had shared something that I would have bought into, and I knew that it wasn't true. And she started to cry and she said, you're right, I'm so unhappy. And, you know, started to go down this road of all these things that were happening. And she truly wanted to, like you were saying, be on that 4-acre lot with the lake where everybody looks at you and says, hey, you've got a great life, mm-hmm. right? But it's not great if you're not happy. It's not great if you don't feel safe. It's not great if you are not okay on the inside. Mm-hmm. You could live in a shack and be truly happy, right? Like, if you know your true self and your authentic self, and it doesn't matter what you have. It just doesn't. And honestly, anyone that is listening and thinks that, you know, everything about this journey of life is about your external world you've created for yourself, I beg to differ with you, because it's more about your soul growing and learning and elevating so that you are in that pure, authentic place of your being, that you have peace and contentment and joy and love, and that just flows through you all the time because you have that. And what a drastic difference that is, right? So I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I said, yep, that's amazing how you articulated that.
Mm-hmm. It's a soul journey, and right now we are in a world space where everywhere you look, our souls are under attack. And everywhere you look, there are influences, whether it's darkness coming through social media, darkness coming through television and trying to program, you know, think about this, television, quote unquote, programming. Try to program your brain to accept that certain things are okay or true. And somewhere inside you, though, you know it's not true. Like, you feel that angst and you know it's not true, but you question yourself because you're like, well, if it's just in front of me, then I should trust it or believe it. But what if you didn't? What if you recognized it as darkness? Because it's either coming from the God source and love and light, where it's coming from the opposite direction, which is not of love and light. So it's really important in this time where we are surrounded by so many forces of darkness that we recognize it for what it is and then make a decision. Do we continue down this road and allow this into our soul self and get clouded with it, or do we just turn and walk away and head towards the light and know that small change is just going to give us even more peace.
Mm-hmm.
Peace of mind, peace in the heart, just give us more peace altogether. There's so many things I feel that are just hard to take. And your story, your journey, there's so many things about your journey that really resonate with people on such a higher level. You know, I don't know, again, I don't know any human that hasn't suffered from despair in some capacity. And even with this, you know, you mentioned the racial aspect of it, you know, discrimination and things. And I feel like all humans go through that at some point in their life. And it doesn't matter what they look like or who they are or anything. I mean, you see it with the elderly population, you see it with different cultures, you see it with, you know, women, you just see it all over the place. And the degree and severity is drastically different from place to place and what that looks like. But deep down, there is this thing that happens to us as part of our journey. And I feel that recognizing that this is part of our experience, and we could either allow it to define us or we can allow it to change us and grow from it. Life is always serving us. It's always giving us an opportunity to learn something. And when we go back and we say hindsight's 2020, it really is, because what we are able to do is we're able to take our worst experience and recognize how beautiful that was as a gift to our life. Because had we not gone through that, we would not be where we are.
Yeah. You know what came up as you're saying that was, invitation. So, I then was reminded of, like, you know, all the shaming of my body, right? The shaming of the female body that's supposed to be covered in the culture that I grew up in, and the shaming of, oh, being Chinese, my eyes are too small, I was too skinny, or whatever that is, right? But then, you know, if I actually look at it and where I am now, maybe that was actually an invitation from the other side to love myself more, right? And all those shaming of, like, say how small my eyes were or how lanky I was growing up, it was an invitation to see my eyes in different ways. They're beautiful eyes. And, you know, how lanky, like, you know, I was perceived by that culture, you know, at that time. It's an invitation to love my body for what it is, right? And what it really is like, okay, what we want is the other side of, you know, this despair of, like, you know, this negativity. But, you know, at that moment, I guess thinking about it, because at that point I wasn't taught how to love myself. There was no concept of self-love. It was always other people's approval, right? And I only learned self-love maybe in my mid-30s. Like, that was the seed, right? That was planted in, I don't know, maybe some self-development video that I was watching. Yeah, if you actually take a look at it, it's an invitation for you on a journey to get to the other side.
Absolutely. And it's so special that each one of us has our own unique fingerprint. You know, mm-hmm. we are unique for a reason, because we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be looking like everybody else or dressing like everybody else. Like, we're supposed to be our own person. That's what we're supposed to be. But interestingly enough, we have all of this programming all around us trying to make us the same, you know, and it's not supposed to be like that. So honoring yourself, loving yourself, that is what will create the peace in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And your meditation, I mean, that's honoring yourself. Like, and that, like you said, that creates a lot of peace for you. So I think if anyone can step away from this show with a message of just turning inward and loving that little girl or that little child within them and just full on love them with everything that you feel like you have, it's just going to turn things around for you immensely.
Because that love is available for you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you can give it to yourself right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So awesome. So I do have one last question for you. Mm-hmm. If I were to pick up your Earth Angel feather off the ground, what would your message to the world be?
Would be, you are meant to be happy. You are meant to be peaceful. Yeah. Those are, I think that's like the biggest lesson that I've had in my life, really. It's like, why do I wanted all these things that I wanted, you know, back then in my, well, when things were not going very well, I just wanted to be happy. And I think, yeah, all of us are meant for that. And we're all dispatched, right? Based on whatever purpose that we have to, as a channel, I feel, for the universe to express different kinds of happiness.
And I love that.
Yeah. And so, I just wish everybody happiness in your own way.
I love that. Jenny, thank you so much for being with us today. And it's been such an honor and joy. And you're a beautiful, beautiful person. And just so happy you are here today.
Oh, thank you. I'm so, so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And for my audience, this is Catherine Daniels from Retreat to Peace, reminding you to live your soul self in authenticity and retreat to peace. And as always, we'll see you next time.